Good morning and Merry Christmas. If you have your Bibles with you and open, whether in printed form or digital, turn them to Matthew chapter 2. We'll look at this message for this Christmas morning that I've entitled, So Far a Distance. There are gifts hoped for. There are gifts expected. There are gifts of surprise. All over America, Christmas morning, people sit around their Christmas tree, unwrapping packages with their name on them. It's one of those few times we receive gifts, something we didn't have to work for. Most people don't realize that the packages under the tree are symbolic of the true gift of Christmas. The real Christmas present is God's gift of eternal life. Eternal life cannot be earned. What we've earned is death by our sin. But God has given us eternal life in Jesus Christ. And that gift was given long before we could have earned it. Actually, 2,000 years about before. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." A co-worker of mine many years ago said to me, "Eric, we are such a throwaway society. For example, fast food very often comes in pretty containers that we immediately toss after our purchase. We unwrap the presents on Christmas and then throw away the container and all that wrapping paper. But the gift of eternal life and its wrapping cannot be separated. They are permanently connected. God gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." So, how does one get this gift from God? Well, we get it the same way we receive any gift, by simply accepting it, by faith. Believe God has paid for the gift by Jesus' death on the cross, and receive the resurrected Savior. He is eternal life. God has countless gifts, all the gifts of heaven, but they are all in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Listen, if you haven't received Jesus as your personal Savior, your life is like a Christmas morning that no one woke up for. There's a Christmas tree. There are packages with tags reading from God, but you are not there to open them. If you're not a Christian, God has a wonderful present for you. Simply receive His Son, your eternal life, by faith. Have you opened the real Christmas gift? Have you? Have you opened up the real Christmas gift? The gift of eternal life is provided for every person. All must make the choice to accept it or reject it. No one can remain neutral. Sin produces guilt. That conviction of wrongdoing before God. Guilt must be dealt with in one of two ways. Either by confession, which is God's way, or by suppression, which is man's way, like Adam did when he covered up his naked body after he sinned to try and hide it. And then when God came to visit with him, as he routinely did, to walk with him in the cool of the day, Adam hid himself from God. We can choose to do that by trying to suppress guilt rather than confessing it. If you're with me there in God's Word, in Matthew chapter 2, let's read that passage, verses 1 through 18. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Son, by the Lord, through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem, in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. And then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." The visit of the wise men provides insights of an interesting contrast, a choice of two paths, and the steps that follow those paths. The path of a focus on God and the path of a focus on self. Which path are you following in your life? First, a confrontation with Jesus is a crisis. You must respond. The wise men rejoiced. In verse 10 it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. On the contrary, the king was troubled. In verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why was he troubled? Well, awareness of sin demands a response. Guilt troubles us until it's resolved, either by confession or suppression. So first, a confrontation with Christ, with Jesus is a crisis. You must respond. And second, a crisis with Jesus has a solution. You must seek. Where is the newborn king? Verse 2. Saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. On the contrary, where is the king to be born? Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. The problem of sin requires a solution. Peace must be sought. Both had to find Jesus for their own reasons. One to worship him, the other to get rid of him as a threat, as a rival to the throne. And then third, a solution with Jesus is by acceptance. You must choose. Worship and give gifts. Verse 11, the wise men. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. On the contrary, like King Herod, find and destroy. Verses 12 and 13. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Destroy the source of irritation. You see, the solution for sin is forgiveness. You've got to get rid of it, the situation. You've got to get rid of the guilt of sin. You either seek forgiveness or you seek to destroy what's causing the irritation to you. The path chosen determines the way of the wise men or the way of King Herod. Focus on God, and guilt will come to you. Search the scriptures, and you will understand the problem. Respond to truth, and you'll receive forgiveness and a new life. Or, focus on self, and the guilt will come to you as well. Ignore scriptures, and you'll seek to suppress the problem. Reject the truth, and you'll develop bitterness. The wise men focused on God, and they received his protection. Life. But King Herod focused on self, and he received God's destruction, death. Listen, don't let the appeal and empty promises of materialism, tradition, and schedules smother out the real Christmas gift of Jesus. Make Christmas about Christ. Because you see, we all are in the same situation. We all, like Herod and the wise men, we all are in the same situation. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. And we all are facing the same thing. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. But God loves us. He doesn't want us to receive that wage of sin, which is death. And not just a physical death, but eternal death in hell. So, because He loved us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because He loved us, He sent Jesus. He gave Jesus. So the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. And how by Christ Jesus? Well, Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went to the cross as the expression of God's love for us. And that's how we gain eternal life. Because He took the punishment for us, we can receive forgiveness by putting our faith in Him, by trusting Him. And all we have to do is acknowledge that trust. Just confess that trust. Romans 10:9-10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. So, we trust that Jesus died for us and He rose from the dead, and we confess that and we're saved. All we need to do is just reach out and ask. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know that? Have you confessed Jesus? Do you believe He died for you and rose from the dead? And because He rose from the dead, He can give you power over death for eternal life so that you don't have to spend an eternity in hell, but you can spend an eternity in heaven with Him. Have you reached out and asked Him to forgive you for eternal life? Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the testimony of the wise men seeking Jesus and bringing gifts. And Lord, as we look and see King Herod not seeing the gift that You sent, but seeing a threat to his rule, seeing a rival to the throne, seeing someone who brought him much trouble rather than Your free gift of eternal life. Father, may we choose, as the wise men did, to seek and worship and bow down before our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that everyone who's watching or listening to this message would make that decision on this day, particularly on this day of Christmas, when we celebrate the gift that You've given of eternal life by Jesus Christ, the incarnation, God the Son becoming a man, Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank You. And Father, I pray that You would bring conviction on each one and the grace to respond to it. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 You have a great Christmas day. Lord bless you. Merry Christmas. You have a great day.